I'm really glad that we rearranged the order of the meetings last night and moved meeting 11 forward, because it was really important that we have this goal before our eyes first. Yesterday, throughout the day, we noticed if we don't see, first of all, what God the Father wants to have, if we don't see what is this true worship and what are these offerings, then the entire word that we're going to speak here, it's good, but somehow it's without an aim, it's aimless. That's why I'd like to bring back this picture, this chart from last night. It's so good that we saw on this chart how what our Father wants to have. I think we all have the impression in this time that the Lord is changing our vision strongly. The types of meanings that we've had up until now, the way we've lived our faith until now, I think the Lord is telling us a lot of things need to change. And it's good to see how is the worship in the Old Testament and how is it today in the New Covenant. There's one point that is really important for us to say that already came out now through the testimonies, is that in the end, it's all about the satisfaction of the Father. The Father's satisfaction. We need to see we have a triune God. We all know this, but in our experience, often we don't have a triune God, but we have a single God. We pray to the Lord Jesus. We talk about the Lord Jesus. And when we think about God, we think about the Lord Jesus. But the entire scripture shows us that we have a triune God. And this God, I'm going to write this down, it's the Father, the Son in Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three, although they are one, they are still three. It's three in one. One, somebody gave an example. It's like coffee. You can't just drink coffee by itself. You need milk and sugar. It's one drink, but there are three ingredients. It's one and yet three and yet one. And this is how our God is. Our God is one God, and yet it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think at this time the Lord really wants to expand our view, especially concerning the Father. Because concerning ourselves, what did the Father do? The Father became man in Christ, and he lived out a life on this earth. He completed his work here on earth, and then this Son became the Holy Spirit. And we all know that today, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, he receives this Holy Spirit. So in the Bible, the order that we see is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in our experience, it needs to be the other way around. First, we need to start here with the Holy Spirit and then go up. So we have received the Spirit. By faith. And through Jesus Christ, we can come to the Father in the Spirit. Let us read Ephesians 2, verse 18. All together. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. Again. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. This verse is so clear. This verse shows us that all three are important. And shortly before, in Ephesians 2, it talks about how the Lord, he was crucified and he pulled down the wall of separation. And now we see, after he saved us, in Christ, we have access by the Spirit. But to whom? To whom is this access? It's to the Father. The access is to the Father. Often in our experience, we take the access where? To the Lord Jesus. To whom? We say, Lord, I turn to the Spirit. Lord Jesus, I come to you. And this isn't bad. But here it says in this verse, the access is to the Father.
So
why are we talking so much about the Father? And the testimonies, the brothers also said this. Because if we see this entire picture here of worship, of the offerings, these offerings are for the Father. The offerings are not for the Son. You can say, I bring the Lord Jesus as an offering to Lord Jesus. You can't say that. But often, this is how our mind works. This is our concept. We think, okay, enjoy the Lord, and then the Lord is satisfied. No. We gain the Lord as our offerings so that we can bring these offerings to the Father. And this is this picture, this entire picture that we saw last night. It's about what does the Father want to have. And I must say in me, this is the largest change I've experienced yet in this Yuko, is not just to expand my view to see what does the Lord want, but to understand it's about what does the Father want. I think this is the reason why the Lord has not yet been able to come back, because no one is asking what does the Father want. In the first meeting, we asked ourselves this question, is the Father satisfied with our meeting? When this question came up, I noticed I never asked myself this question before, but this question is so important. We need to ask this question, what satisfies the Father? Because the Father, he created us. And all this work that the Lord had done is that we are able to bring offerings to the Father. So praise the Lord that we saw this picture last night. And we saw what is written in the Old Testament concerning worship is valid today in the same way. These three things are very important. Last night we saw, actually, if you want to become a true worshiper, which we all want to become, you need three things. First of all, you need to be in the right place. If you're not in the right place, back then, you were exempt. You had to be in Jerusalem, otherwise it didn't count. God said so clearly, the worship, the offerings, they all have to be brought to Jerusalem. And today, there's also a very clear place. And we saw that this place, on one hand, it's the Spirit. On the other hand, it's also the church. And actually, these two, you cannot separate them. If you are in the Spirit, then the church will come forth. But often we just have a strange concept of church today, because today there are so many groups and denominations calling themselves church. But in the Bible, it's the same. You can't say, I'm in the Spirit, but I'm not in the church. That doesn't fit. Doesn't make sense. But tomorrow we will talk more about the church. So you need to be in the right place. And then secondly, you need to be a priest. You need to belong to God's people. And thirdly, what we read in Deuteronomy 12 last night, not only do we come together in the right place, not only do we belong to the people, but what do we do when we're in the right place with the right people? We celebrate a feast. And what feast did they celebrate? They brought all their offerings together. They ate together, and this was an enjoyment for the Father. And these offerings, as we read, it was the best, the tithe, the best part of everything that the people had gained in the good land. And yesterday we saw it, that these offerings are the Lord Jesus Christ as the reality of all offerings. We need to see, why do we want to gain these offerings? In order to please the Father. Praise the Lord. Actually, the Bible talks about the Father so much. In the Gospel of John, I notice the Lord talks about the Father so much, and also about the Spirit. Recently, when I was reading John, I noticed he's always talking about the Father and the Spirit. But unfortunately, In our experience, these two are missing. We're often just concentrated on the Lord Jesus. But we need also the experience to pray to the Father. Romans 8 shows us this verse, that we have received a spirit of sonship. And what does the Spirit cry? Oh, Lord Jesus. No, the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. We have a Spirit in us that cries out, Abba, Father. That draws us into the fellowship of this Father. Last few days, it was so good. In the morning, when I was going on a walk in the morning, I not only prayed, Lord Jesus, but I prayed, Abba, Father. I want to satisfy you. I want to live a life that satisfies you, that pleases you. And I notice, just to pray already this way, this expands my view. Then it's not only about me experiencing the Lord, it's about my Father. And this morning, we're going to continue on with a third meeting on the outline. And in the outline, we see we're going to talk about the walk in the Spirit. We really have a burden to talk about the Spirit more, because in order to please the Father, we need to know the Spirit. The way is in the Spirit through Jesus Christ to the Father. And yesterday morning it was so good. We saw we were born again in the Spirit, and we all worship in the Spirit. But now we need to see that we also walk in the Spirit. So let's read Galatians 5:16 all together. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Let's read it all together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit. And then verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Or, in other words, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Paul said so clearly, this Spirit is not just here for us to receive it and that it gives us life, but we need to walk through this Spirit. And the meeting last night, I think, was really a help to all of us to see the goal. Why do I walk in the Spirit? I walk in the Spirit in order to gain these offerings in my daily life so that I can bring them to the Father. So I want to make a small sketch concerning the Spirit that we have received. In the Old Testament, it was that the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, you don't read about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you read about the Spirit of God. And in the New Testament, we have the expression the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or the Spirit. Both of these, on one hand, it's the same, but on the other hand, there's a difference. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament, he could not enter into man. In the Old Testament, you don't read about how the Spirit dwelled inside of man. But what do you read? You read that the Spirit came over someone. For example, Saul. When you read about Saul, the Spirit came about Saul and he entered into like an... And he started to prophesy concerning Israel or other prophets. They couldn't say what they wanted to say, but the Spirit came over them. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit came over you, but you couldn't really control it. In the New Testament, you have the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit, not that simple. This Spirit is the Spirit of God. But it's not only the Spirit of God, but through Jesus Christ, becoming man, and everything that he went through on earth, he prepared this Spirit. So in the Holy Spirit, you not only have the Spirit of God, but you also have humanity. You have the humanity of the Lord. When the Lord was on earth, he lived such a wonderful life. His humanity was so fine. It's really so. When you read the Gospels, you think, wow, what a man. And in this Holy Spirit, we have the fine humanity of the Lord. And also, in the Holy Spirit, we have this Lord's suffering. He suffered so much. We also have his obedience. His obedience. You know the verse in Hebrews, by the Lord learned obedience in all that he suffered. This is also included in the Holy Spirit. We have his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. And what else? Ascension.
Seine Auffahrt.
Yeah, his ascension. Mm-hmm. So it's the Spirit of God, humanity, sufferings, obedience, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And all of these are in this Spirit that the Lord prepared when he was on earth. Let's read a verse, or I'll read you a verse from John 7, verse 38. He said, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then in verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given." This is important. He says, "For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Have you ever asked yourself why the Lord said it in this way, but the Holy Spirit was not yet given? I used to think, why? The Spirit was already there at the time of creation. But what he means here is this Spirit, this Holy Spirit that he prepared with everything that he had done. And here he talks about it. He says, this Spirit all will receive who believe in me. But in that time, this Holy Spirit wasn't ready yet because the Lord hadn't died yet. He didn't resurrect yet. He didn't ascend yet. His sufferings were not yet finished, so this Spirit was not yet fully made ready. So it's not just here so that we can understand what are the ingredients of the Holy Spirit. Much more, we need to see that the Spirit that we have received, the Holy Spirit, is a wonderful Spirit with such wonderful ingredients. It's like when you bake a cake, you don't just take flour and put flour on the table, but you take lots of different ingredients, and then you bring them together, and at the end, something really wonderful comes forth that everyone can enjoy. And this is what the Lord did. He went through such a process when he was on earth. He lived the life of a man. He suffered. He was crucified. He resurrected and he ascended. Why did he do that? We often think as Christians, the Lord did this to save me from my sins. But this is not enough. This is too little. The Lord went through all of this to prepare such a wonderful Spirit for us to then give it to us. And in John 20, I also want to read it to you in verse 22. This was after the Lord had gone through this process. Then he said, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is wonderful. The Gospel of John has such a wonderful end. You see that the Lord, he prepared this Spirit, and then he breathed it into the disciples. And what did they receive? Not only a Spirit that gives them life, but a Spirit where all of these ingredients, all of these aspects are included. And in Acts 2, he poured out the Spirit. So praise the Lord. We have received a wonderful Spirit. But now I want to ask you, why did the Lord go through all the trouble to give us such a wonderful package in the Spirit? What do you think? Why did he go through all the trouble? certainly not just for us to be saved and that's it. This Spirit is there to gain all of the offerings that the Father wants. That's why we're right here, the offerings. We already heard the Lord is the reality of all offerings. And the ingredients of this Spirit are there to help us to carry out everything that the Father wants. And each one of these ingredients is a solution for a problem that we have. Today we have a lot of problems. Our humanity, how is our humanity? It's not that good. Our humanity is so far away from everything that God wants. So far away from from being a man that pleases God. But praise the Lord, we have received a spirit with a new humanity. So what is the Spirit doing you? This Spirit gives you a new humanity. Amen. He replaces your old humanity. It's like when you have a transplantation. Stem cell transplantation. It's like you have a complete replacement. And we have other problems. We have problems, we are not obedient. John Young brought this experience last night. The Lord speaks to you and you say, no, I'm tired. That shows we have a problem to be obedient. But praise the Lord. The Lord gave us a spirit with this ingredient of obedience. And we see this obedience actually pertains to the burnt offering. Each one of these offerings in the Old Testament, we have it in the Holy Spirit today. The meal offering in the Old Testament is a picture for the humanity of the Lord. It is in your spirit. It's included in your spirit. Or the sin offering. The Lord went on the cross to do away with all of our sins. This is also in your spirit. I often notice in us we have such a problem with sin. We have the blood of the Lord, but often we notice that the blood of the Lord is not enough. When we sin, we take the blood and say, Lord, forgive me. I confess my sins. The Lord, He cleanses us. But then the next day, we sin again. We take the blood again, cleanse ourselves, and we sin again. And unfortunately, this is the life that most Christians lead today. They sin, they take the blood, they cleanse themselves. But on the cross, we not only have this blood. On the cross, the Lord did away with all sin. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we have everything that we need. And for us, often, the Spirit is so general. We just say, I'm in the Spirit. Or we say, the Spirit is wonderful. We have this song, the Spirit is wonderful today in us. But we need to ask ourselves, how wonderful is the Spirit really? If you sing, the Spirit is wonderful today in us, and then the Lord, someone asks you, Philip, how wonderful is the Spirit in you? Tell me. Sometimes we don't have that much to say. Because we don't have a view for the fact that the Spirit in us is such a wonderful package with so many wonderful ingredients. And the Spirit is in us to do so much in us. He has a lot of work to do in me. That's why yesterday we heard, it cannot be that the Spirit lives in me and I don't know it. I don't know Him. That cannot be. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to get to know every functionality of my spirit. I want to take You as my meal offering, as my humanity. There are so many opportunities where we can exercise this. I always have to think of the time when I lived in the brother's house earlier, not anymore. But there used to be so many opportunities for me to take this humanity, maybe I got angry with the brothers or something got on my nerves and I just realized I'm lacking this humanity. This is a practical situation to say, Lord, I want to experience the humanity of the Lord. I want to experience how You give me a new humanity, the way I deal and go about with my brothers. Or if we realize I cannot be obedient, then we can say, Lord Spirit, teach me obedience. Work this obedience within me. I take You as my burnt offering. This Spirit is not just so simple. It has so many functionalities. And it's all there for us to experience. What about the resurrection? Often we have a problem with death. We all know. Sometimes the Lord does cleanse you from your sins and you're pure and you're clean, but you still feel you are dead. So praise the Lord. In the Spirit we have resurrection power, power of resurrection to just sweep up all death out of our life. How about ascension? It's not that you live on the earth, that we don't have, that we aren't carnally minded, that we don't have a mind focused on the things that are on the earth. We are ascended. That's why in point B on the outline, we wrote, ruling over the flesh through the Spirit. We don't need to go through every point here. You can read them for yourselves. But one thing we need to say, that this Spirit has a lot of work to do in us. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And one thing I liked last night about Deuteronomy 12, if we go back there to Deuteronomy 12, what was the first thing that the Lord said in Deuteronomy 12? What was the first thing they were supposed to do? In verse 2, he said, Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods. And you shall destroy their altars, in verse 3, break their sacred pillars and burn their wooden images, etc. So the first thing that God said is you need to clean up. There is a lot to do away with, first of all. Now what do you think it's like today when the Spirit comes into us? Don't you think there's a lot of cleanup work to do? I have to say, I notice there's a lot of cleanup work left to do in me. That's why the Spirit in us is a Spirit that cleanses us also from our flesh, purges us of our flesh. Yeah, our being is like full of bacteria, full of. We are so fleshly, we're so carnal, we're used to living in our flesh day in, day out. But what does the Spirit do? It comes in and kills this bacteria. This is wonderful. The Spirit in me has a lot to do. Saves me from my flesh, saves me from myself. This is really wonderful. We should really tell the Lord, Lord, I want to get to know this Spirit. No one can teach us to live in the Spirit except the Spirit. Yeah? The anointing teaches us all things. We can come to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to live in the Spirit. This is our burden for this morning. If we simply leave the meeting with this sentence in our head today, I want to know the Spirit, but not just in a general manner, but with all these functionalities. I wanted to work all of these functionalities in me. If we leave the meeting with this attitude, we've already gained a lot. And if we experience the Spirit so richly with all these functionalities, then we will also gain the offerings every day. I have an impression that we need such a need to walk through the Spirit. Often, I know it's good for me to walk in the Spirit, but if I don't feel good, then it's not that necessary. It's not that important. And I think a lot of us, we know these thoughts. Okay, I can turn myself to the Lord later. But if we see, it's not about me at all. It's about the Father seeking such, worshiping Him. Then we can't be so loose. This verse really touched me. They must worship in Spirit and in truth. They must. And for me, in the last weeks, it really helped me when I was thinking about, okay, Lord, to pray, I have to worship in the Spirit, not for my sake, but for the Father's sake. So let us say this to the Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit. We could talk for hours about it, examples and what it means practically, but the Spirit will teach us all things. No book can teach it to us. We can buy a lot of books at the book table, but to walk in the Spirit, you can't learn this from a book. A brother can't teach it to you. A message can't give it to you. Only the Spirit in your spirit can teach it to you. That's why it's so important after the meeting, the best thing to do is go to the Spirit and say, Lord Spirit, I want to know you. Fulfill all of these aspects within me. Let me gain you as my offering so that I have something for the meetings, for the